Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the home of the U. Miami's Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Welcome to Hurricanes Weekly, where we talk all things Canes every Sunday morning. Today's show is presented by Williamson Cadillac Buick GMC. Miami's premier luxury dealership is Williamson Cadillac Buick GMC. Visit WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com. Now, the voice of the U, Joe Zagacki.
A very pleasant good morning, everybody, and welcome to Hurricanes Weekly, Sunday, March the 4th, 2018, a big day for the University of Miami yesterday as they defeated Virginia Tech in basketball, 69-68. The Cardiac Canes did it again. Miami trailed at halftime in the game at the Watsco Center, 39-32. Miami outscored Virginia Tech in the second half, 37-29. Canes again without Bruce Brown. They go 7-3 this year in the second half of the season without Bruce Brown. Again, all hands on deck for Miami. DJ Vasiljevic led Miami with 16 points. Chris Likes scored 15. Likes is averaging 15 points a game over the last five. He scored 15 again yesterday. Lonnie Walker had 12 points for Miami, including the go-ahead basket in the final minute or so, right off the baseline, about a 15-foot jump shot or so. And then Chris Likes iced the game for Miami. Actually won the game, made one out of two free throws for his 69-68 lead. Hokies missed the shot at the end of the game. So Miami finishes up the regular season 22-8, 11-7 in conference play. Another very exciting game came right down to the wire. Here are the highlights and the reaction of the Hurricanes and the Hokies.
Likes has it. Top of the circle, moves the left side to Walker with four. Trifecta's in the air and good. Lonnie Walker drops that one right down through the bottom of the net. A three-pointer for Lonnie Walker. That's Miami's first field goal. Makes it a 10-5 game. Vasiljevic inbounds, far right wing to Azundu. To Lawrence, right back to DJ. Turns, fires for three, short. Air ball right to Wardenburg. Out the Likes for three. In the air, short. Rebounded by Vasiljevic. Layup is good. Third time was a charm. They started off shooting threes, and DJ found a little seam there and laid it up and in. He has five. Lawrence on the left wing, guarded by Clark. 6 seconds to shoot. Vasiljevic with a shot fake. Drives in. Back out to Anthony Lawrence. Sets up a three-pointer. In the air and good. Right at the buzzer. Lawrence scored 25 against Virginia Tech in the first game. Hits his first three here. Miami's within one. 7.5 to play. First half at the Watsco Center. Walker drives in. Lonnie Walker with a thunderous dunk. He burned his way into the paint and finished with a ferocious slam dunk. Walker, top of the circle. A double team on Walker. Likes has it. Miami's going to have to find the open man. He lets a deep three go, and it's good! That had to be a 25-foot three-pointer by Chris Likes. A desperation heave. 28-21, Virginia Tech with 5:31 to go. Hurricanes going to have to find some energy at halftime. After their electrifying win the other night, not much here today. Likes drives in, kicks in the corner. Vasiljevic for three, good. DJ rings the bell for the second time today. He has 8 points in the game, 2 minutes to go, first half. Hokies lead at 37-28. Likes to Newton. Newton holds the ball up by his right shoulder. Now Lonnie Walker is open. He takes a three-pointer. That's good. Back-to-back threes by Miami. Walker has 10 in the game. 42-38. Yule drives in. Yule spins on Blackshear to the rim. Lays it up and in! And the Hurricanes have the lead for the first time since it was 1-0. 43-42 Miami. And the crowd stays with it. Back to a three-point lead for Miami now. 47-44. Likes steps back, lets a three-pointer fly. Good! Chris Likes does it again with a three-pointer. Lawrence has it on the right wing. Ball screen from Azundu. Skips a pass left wing for Vasiljevic. He fires for three. Good! DJ Vasiljevic with a three-pointer from the left wing, 22 feet away. Lawrence on the near right sideline. High ball screen offered by Huell. Lawrence with a one-handed pass. Vasilevich for three. He rings the bell again. DJ Vasilevich has fire shooting out of his fingertips. Miami 64, Virginia Tech 55. Lights has it out front. Over to Lonnie Walker. 1 minute to go in the game. Canes are down two. Walker against a double team. Walker on the right side. Walker steps back. 15-foot jumper. He's good! And we're tied at 68. Right off the baseline, Lonnie Walker comes through in the clutch and ties the game. Hokies have one timeout remaining. Likes takes a deep breath, flicks his fingers. It's away and no good. Hokies can win it. Clark will heave it. It is no good! Chris Clark heaved it from just short of center court. No good. Sheer delight for Miami. Desolation for Virginia Tech. Miami wins 69-68. Chris Caputo is with us. First, let me ask you this question. After all the frantic finishes we saw, there's Adam Fisher. I was a little surprised that Chris Clark took that shot, that he didn't use the timeout or maybe try to get it to Robinson.
I don't know. It's hard with 2 point, whatever it was. So yeah, it's tough. We've been in that situation.
All right. You finished with four straight wins. What does this say about your team? What a great run at the end of the year.
Well, I think everybody, got to understand that, this is a team that's been through a lot. Bruce Brown out for the, all but eight games in the league. And, we really came together as a group and, to be 22-8 and 11-7 in the league. And, just really, really, I think a high level of maturity from our young guys, to be down in a game like this and really to pull together and find a way to get some stops and, just a great win for us.
7-3, I believe it is, without Bruce Brown. And again, today all hands on deck. And the guy that ignited it, I think, in the second half had to be DJ Vasilevich.
Yeah, he made some great, Sam Wartenberg made a couple of really, really good screen, flare screens for him, and Vasilevich was able to catch it and bury him, and, those are huge shots.
Chris Likes also had 15 points, including the game-winning free throw. I believe it's the 12th time in ACC play that he's been in double figures, and by the way, coming into today, over the last five games, averaging 15 a game, and he got 15 today.
Yeah, well, he's such a, I thought the way he affected the game tonight, other than his a couple of shots he made and his free throws, but his seven assists, I thought really timely assists that helped us in the second half really get back into the game.
Halftime, you said, I think you said, take away their threes, keep them off the free throw line, yelled them to three-pointers in the second half.
I think that was the name of the game, and I thought we overreacted to some of their drives, and that's how they play. That's what their intent is to get you spread out and get you to overreact to dribble penetration. And then they shoot clean threes in the second half. They go three of eight from three, I think. And it's not that that's a bad percentage, but that they didn't attempt, 12, 15. You got 12 in the first half.
By the way, maybe I made a mistake. I think he got one field goal down the stretch.
Yeah, Lonnie
Walker.
Lonnie
Walker, the
yeah.
baseline.
Yep.
Yeah, the
was
jump shot. That
much
was
needed.
That was a huge play.
Much
yeah.
needed. Yeah.
Lonnie Walker. Let's talk about that for a moment because it's 12 points for Walker, but you could give him the nickname of Big Shot Walker if you wanted because he's made some huge shots this year.
Yeah, and that was as big as they come. Obviously we needed it. We were in desperate need of a basket. We got three travel. We traveled three times. We charged. We did everything we could to not put the ball in the basket, and so we were able to get to the point where we did get that one one made basket and allows us to win the game in the last 7 minutes. They don't really see that much,
You did hunker down on defense. Where does this team, or where do you think here in the, maybe the last 3 weeks, where have they found their grit and know-how? Where is it coming from, Coach L, the coaching staff?
Yeah,
where do you think it's coming from?
Yeah, I think coaches instilled a tremendous amount of grit into them, and I think we have a very resilient mindset. We have a very, sort of competitive confidence to us, both home and road. And I think you really got to credit our young guys because it's just in college basketball, a lot of times you're in these situations against the type of teams we're playing, and the young guys make mistakes, and then they learn from them, and then someday they're the older guys. That are making clutch plays. But right now, we've got a lot of young guys doing a lot of good things. And, credit you know, all those guys, not just our freshmen, but our sophomores as well.
You know, the thing I love about college basketball is there's always tomorrow. And you mentioned maybe overreacted on defense in the game. And that can happen during the course of a sports season. And a couple of weeks ago, you lost three in a row, and oh my goodness, the sky is falling, and now you finish with four straight wins, three of them pretty much at the buzzer.
Yeah, and I think that's a good lesson for anybody in competitive, you know, basketball, sports, you know, not to overreact. I think this culture, the society we live in now is very much instant gratification. You know, everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's got a suggestion. I think there was a guy trying to, like, talk to our players during halftime that were sitting on the bench, which was interesting. I'm not sure what his message was going to be. But, you know, to not get too high or too low, you know, to come in and pound the rock every day, you know, they're cliches, but they're really true. You can never give up on, you know, growth and improvement and trying to, you know, get a little bit better at everything each day. And I think this group has done that throughout the year. We've gotten better throughout the year, even though, you know, we've had some tough losses. I think every game we've been in has been like a close game, you know, play, you know.
All but two of your ACC games have been decided by 10 points or fewer.
Yeah.
And the last, coming into today, the last three games determined by 3 points or fewer. So that's four games in a row decided by 3 points or fewer. In seven of your eight defeats, you led or were within 3 points in the final 4 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, to do that and to do it with all these youthful gentlemen that we have is, you know, really testament to them and their focus and their ability to, you know, compete and try to lock in as much as they can into scouting report and practice and the things we do in film. And, you know, those guys are a special group we have here. I mean, I think, you know, again, I've said our success here has come with a lot of, like, 22- and 23-year-olds, and it's just the reality. You know, we're having a great year with guys that are, like, 19 and 20, you know, some of them. But our youth is on display, and they've done a great job.
All right, on to the ACC tournament. The last question for you, you're going to gather the team up. We're going to leave on Monday, the ACC tournament. We'll know probably around midnight what time and who
we
play.
Yeah, what time is that game, Joe?
8:15.
Yeah, so it's late, so we won't.
At Cameron Indoor Stadium.
Yeah.
And we'll root for the Cameron Crazies tonight. And but you go into the ACC tournament, what will the message be to the team as you get ready to go to Brooklyn?
Well, I think everybody knows the margin for error is so small, so whether you get a bye, you get a double bye, you're playing on the first night. I mean, obviously, in our case, we're either going to get the double bye or a single bye. But we, you know, we really don't the margin for error for everybody in the league is very small. I mean, even Virginia, you see the other night, is as great as they've been. You know, they need some things to go their way there at the end of that game to come out victorious. So, you know, I don't think it really matters where you're seated. I think it matters how you play.
All right, very good. Associate Head Coach Chris Caputo with us. Congratulations on a wild regular season, a 22-win regular season, 11 of those in the ACC. Congrats.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, that's Chris Caputo. Still to come on Hurricanes Weekly, we'll hear from Matt Porter of the Palm Beach Post, plus all the highlights from around college basketball. That's coming up next as we continue on Hurricanes Weekly, right here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
Radio.com. This is Hurricanes Weekly, presented by Williamson Cadillac Buick GMC on the home of the U, Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
Hurricanes Weekly continues, brought to you in part by Williamson Cadillac, celebrating over 50 years as a leader in the community. Still coming up, we'll hear from Matt Porter of the Palm Beach Post as we'll recap the Hurricanes regular season and look ahead to the ACC basketball tournament. Yesterday, a busy day in college basketball coming down the home stretch of the season, the final regular season weekend. Let's take a look back at the highlights brought to you by the Learfield and IMG Radio Networks.
Coleman on the dribble, top of the arc, into the left corner to Roach, driving pass route, to the hoop, win reverse on score, Snoop to the hoop. Roach, guarded by Javon Carter, the left side with it, and a work against Carter, works it back to the right side with Roach, sends it into Sims, a slam dunk, quick fire lob pass, in the Sims for the dunk. Matt on the dribble into the front court now. Cross court pass. Young, a long three. Good! Huge one there. Three-pointer. Jacob Young, Texas up 7. Final score, the Texas Longhorns in overtime, 87. The West Virginia Mountaineers, 79.
The Gators have the leather and a 17-point lead. Here's Coolidge off, out front, deep three-point shot, book it. Oh my, it's Florida 59, Kentucky 39. Okaro penetrating down the paint, goes in, shoots a teardrop, and scores. Pretty move by Okaro on a hesitation dribble. Hudson with it, top of the arc, looks to drive, goes inside to Cheese with a pass. Cheese on the baseline, throws it back out to Allen. Now to the corner, Hudson's wide open, right side, three-point shot. Rimming, rattling around, and good! It banked off the window and came through! Led by 15 at the half and win by 13. Horn sounds, ball game is all over!
Simpson between the legs, draws a double team. Can't find the open man, hesitates. Between the legs again, drives, reverse layup, good! Left side of the glass with a right-handed lay-in. Rockmont welcomes a double team left side for Robinson, a jab step. Now a dribble drive and a kick out to Rockmont, three to shoot. Deep three in the face of McQuaid off the heel and a drop. Michigan is going to beat Michigan State for a second time by double figures. They're going to get a chance to defend their Big Ten tournament championship. They knock off the one seed, 75-64.
The freshman academic All-American from Slovakia powers in the first. Orange by three.
A huge foul right there. Make or miss right now, you're in pretty good shape.
Mitchell lets it bounce. Outlet to DeVoe. Half quarter for the tie. Off the glass. No good. And the Orange survive. They beat 18th-ranked Clemson 55-52.
Mitchell corner. Brown three. Yes! Six threes, third time in SEC play that Bryce Brown has done that.
We're in a zone.
23 for Bryce, and the Tigers have their biggest lead of six. Deshaun Murray, alley, ooh! Oh my, Chumo Kiki with the dunk.
Great vision, great pass.
6-point Auburn lead. Throws it back out to Harper, three, good!
All right, great pass out even though they didn't want that shot. I wanted it, take that thing.
Jared Harper the three. And Auburn leads by 9. 14 to shoot, Harper drives around Myers to the rim. Myers fell down, he broke his ankles. He just broke his ankles.
He did.
71-59. Long pass, Brown, three, good!
I said don't do it, do it.
79-67. Folks, for the first time in 19 years, we're cutting the nets down in Auburn, Alabama. Auburn 79, South Carolina 70.
DeSima, right block, ball gets away, but he recovers. Takes one dribble, hands it off to Smith, right corner, pulls the trigger for three and hits it!
My word, what a big shot. And that was one of those no, yes.
Rebound tapped and taken by Kendall Smith at midcourt. Smith drives on Graham, feeds a cutting shine, layup good. Waters for Oklahoma State, shoots for three, hits it! 17-point lead for Oklahoma State! Abe Red on the dribble, draws a double team, top of the key to Waters, swing it left corner for Griff. Three-pointer! Yes, sir! The game ends! The students storm the floor for the first time in 17 years! The Kansas Jayhawks have been swept by a conference opponent! Final score, Oklahoma State 82, Kansas 64.
There's Zach. He will ram it home. Two-hand punch for Zach Smith, his second dunk.
Well, now you're going to have to come down here and you've got to decide if you want to guard anybody or not. It's just been way too easy for TCU.
Senior day sweetness. TCU is swept by the Red Raiders this season. And the final, 79-75. Over the Horned Frog.
Carson Edwards, a three. Good! Deep on the right side. Purdue rebounds. Dakota Mathias with it.
What is Pierce doing there?
Dakota shoot an open three.
Bullseye!
Vince has it at the foul line. Now to Klein. Shoots a three. Bullseye! Klein! Here's Dakota with the ball. Backdoor cut. Lay in Carson Edwards.
A great cut, an even better pass.
The assist from Dakota Mathias. Garner throws two NBA threes up there, and it lands right on the betting line of eight. That's incredible. And the Boilermakers advance 78-70 over Penn State.
Shot clock at 14, goes down low to Cosby Roundtree. Cosby Roundtree goes up and powers it up on a tough angle over Caleb Johnson, score the bucket.
Cosby Roundtree playing very well at both ends of the floor. 4 points now for the freshman.
Back out to DiVincenzo. Cats working around the perimeter. Pascal wants to attack now. Gets double teamed back to Brunson. Open three. Yes, sir. A swish for Brunson from the left wing. He's got 5 points now. An incredible bounce pass down low. Brunson to Pascal. Pump fakes and then scores the layup for the Cats.
That was a great pass. Took everybody, including Eric Pascal, by surprise.
We're down to 5-4, 3-2-1. And the buzzer sounds here. And the final score, Villanova 97, Georgetown 73.
Lamonte Turner sets, fires. That's a tray for Lamonte. And Tennessee takes the lead. Money! Lamonte Turner gives Tennessee a 55-53 lead. Schofield, they clear out right side. He drives, spins, follow away 10-footer. Good!
Money! The Admiral!
Schofield scores. And Tennessee's up by three. And the Tennessee Volunteers are the SEC champions as Rick Barnes now looks for Volunteers to hoist the SEC championship trophy. The final score, Tennessee 66, Georgia 61.
Smith to Ayton. We got to recognize now. He does. He shoots. He scores a three.
Might as well. DeAndre Ayton at the last moment notices the shot clock is expiring.
Arizona back quickly the other way. Lead pass down to Ayton. Lay it up. No, he doesn't lay it up. He jams it home.
He never lays it up, Brian, when he can throw it down. The big fellow running the floor.
Ball knocked away, stolen by Trier. Driving the other way on Coleman. Lay it up and good.
Oh, and it did go through for Alonzo. Sometimes you just need to get as close to the rim as you can.
Pump fake. Jump hook up. Good.
Get the ball to DeAndre. That's been the offense. That's been the primary focus all year. Go to the big fella late.
And the celebration starting now. Final score, Arizona 66, California 54. The seniors will close out with a win at home. They will cut the nets. They will head to Las Vegas as champions of the Pac-12.
Carter on the left for three. Why not?
Wendell Carter Jr. puts the Blue Devils up by eight.
To DeVal up top, seven on the shot clock. Crosses over, drives inside. The lob to Bagley, who threw it down over May. My goodness, Duke by eight.
Duke trailed by 10 at halftime, by 13 in the second half. And in the end, they're going to win this one by 10. 74-64, the final on senior night, as Grayson Allen goes out a winner here at Cameron Indoor Stadium.
Another exciting and compelling weekend of college basketball. When we come back, we'll talk with Matt Porter of the Palm Beach Post. First, let me talk to you about Williamson Cadillac, celebrating over 50 years as a leader in the community and over 50 years as a leader in luxury automobiles. Experience unmatched luxury and the most unique car buying experience in all of South Florida at Miami's premier luxury dealership, because Williamson is Miami. Right now, enjoy our best offers all month long on our entire lineup, including the all-new XT5. That's what I am driving. It is a smooth, quiet, just terrific, mesmerizing drive. The new XT5. Also, check out the Escalade, all in stock right now. Treat yourself to unparalleled style and luxury. It is everything a luxury car buying experience should be. Williamson Cadillac is conveniently located at US 1 and 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto Expressway in Miami. Visit Williamson Cadillac today. For over 50 years, treating you like family has made Williamson number one for an outstanding car driving experience. Don't just drive a car, drive a Cadillac. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com. Williamson is Miami.
Radio.com. Radio.com. This This is Hurricanes Weekly, presented by Williamson Cadillac Buick GMC on the home of the U, Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
Hurricanes Weekly continues. Joe Sciacca joined now by Matt Porter of the Palm Beach Post. Matty Ports. All right, Matt, Hurricanes basketball team finished up with a 69-68 win yesterday against Virginia Tech. They're going to earn a high seed, either 3 through 5. What were your thoughts about the Hurricanes overall basketball season?
You know, I'm really impressed by the close. I think it was, you know, Jim Larrañaga talks a lot about the youth of this team, and there's a lot of young teams, but you look at what this team had to go through with the travel early on. That's not easy to go out to Hawaii. They were playing on the road away a lot. So they kind of it took them a while to get their legs underneath them, and then they lose Bruce Brown, who's their best all-around player, not always a 15 point a night scorer, but just does so much. You know, he's the best rebounder on the team, probably the best distributor. I mean, you know, I'd give it to Chris Likes at this point because he's really come on. But you know, Brown can handle the ball, he can rebound, he plays tough defense, 1 through 4 if asked, a rugged guy, a leader, and then to lose him. You know, I thought that they would be 9-9 in the ACC. I thought that there was no way that they were going to put themselves in position to be one of the top four seeds, which is what they've done here, and it's really impressive. You know, like I said, there's a lot of young teams, a lot of freshman teams, but you know, not all freshmen perform, and Miami's freshmen are getting it done here, and you got to love what you've seen from guys like Abuka Zundu and Sam Warnenberg, and you know, they're getting performances from different places, which is obviously what you need.
I always felt like you need a veteran team to get through the ACC, especially if you're Miami. But these kids kind of proved me wrong. As you mentioned, Likes, Walker, they surpassed last year's ACC record.
Yeah, and you know, they were in a similar spot this year to the place they were last year, which is that they had a bunch of new guys come in, talented, obviously, great recruiting that Miami's done. But you didn't really know how they would come together. And I think I'm trying to remember – every month of the year last year, I feel like they've survived more adversity this year than they have last year. Didn't have, you know, Jaquan Newton has had an up and down season. There's no way to, you know, around that. You know, last year you had guys like Davon Reed and Kamari Murphy who were rock solid, especially a guy like Davon Reed, defender, you know, Kamari Murphy, defender. This year, Jaquan Newton's become a defender. You know, maybe not to that level, but certainly he's a guy that they want out there in critical you know, situations when they have to get a stop. So, you know, not as much senior leadership this year. It's been a collective effort, but it's been impressive how they've got it done so far.
You know, for Coach L, the idea factory never closes.
Yeah, it's a well-earned reputation. You know, he figures it out. You know, I'd love to see them perform better against his own defense, but I think it's hard to quibble with too much else and how they've come through. And we were talking earlier, you know, you look at this differently. You know, it's not a four-game winning streak if a ball, you know, doesn't bounce, you know, or if it goes in a you know, Jaquan Newton's half-court shot, you know, or just inside half-court and at North Carolina doesn't go in. You know, maybe you're looking at it differently, but they've played so well in these tough games. It's a team right now that you're looking at them coming into these NCAA tournament games, the ACC tournament, and thinking that they can handle just about anybody that they play.
Have you had to use a lot of different adjectives to describe Chris Likes?
I'm trying, yeah, because you don't want to overuse, you know, exciting, dynamic, electric. You know, he's when we talked to Jim Larrañaga yesterday after the game, you know, he was talking about, you know, Likes being sixth man of the year. And you know, I don't watch every ACC game, but, you know, certainly when you look at the performances that Likes is has put out this year, it's been impressive. He's just as fun as Larrañaga said he would be before the year. You know, Larrañaga clearly loved him. You know, said he was if he was 6'6", he'd be you know, Michael Jordan basically, and you know, high praise. But he's been fun to watch. You know, I hope he sticks around and has a great 4-year career here, and we can watch him all 4 years.
He is the Jose Altuve of college basketball.
I like that. I like that a lot. You know, I've heard Mighty Mouse. Certainly, that's you know, there's no shortage of smaller athletes that are exciting to watch. But he's one of them. Just don't know how he gets it done sometimes. You know, and the contact he takes. I hope he stays healthy. You know, I hope you know, nothing happens to him when he's on those drives. But man, when he comes pinballing down the lane, And, you know, after that, in the next possession, you know, get a steal and then hit a three that I said today there, or today to a friend of mine, you know, there's not a logo on the court that he won't shoot from. And
that's a good way to put it. Yeah. Matt Porter is our guest. Miami will be in the ACC tournament this week. What do you think about the ACC just in general in basketball? The tournament's coming up. It's the granddaddy of all the tournaments. But what about ACC basketball?
Well, it's been fun to cover, obviously, such a high level. This year, it's strange. You know, when I first was on the beat, you know, I started covering tournaments in Greensboro, which is, you know, obviously the hotbed there, and you know, the passion there runs so deep for that sport and, you know, for the ACC brand. And, you know, they love it there. And then, you know, you go to D.C. And then to Brooklyn, you know, it's a different atmosphere. But the quality of play is obviously so high. And this year is a weird year. You know, it feels like there isn't a dominant team, even though Virginia, you know, is, you know, coming in with one loss, or, you know, they've been so so good all year, you know, playing that suffocating defense. But it doesn't feel like there's a dominant team this year. It feels like really anybody who's, you know, playing on Wednesday, you know, could get to Thursday, and it feels like anybody who's playing on Thursday could win it. So it's you know, Miami's definitely in that crew, I would say.
I think for Miami, perhaps much like Jason Tatum carried Duke last year in Brooklyn, probably Lonnie Walker will have to carry Miami.
Yeah, it's got to be him, I would think. He's, you know, as he showed yesterday, just an outstanding shot maker. That fall away, I'm not sure how many guys, you know, in the league hit that shot in that situation. You know, there aren't too many of them. You know, as good as the quality of the league is, but he's, you know, he can really do it all. I'm impressed with his defense lately. I think he's come along as a defender. Obviously, he's so quick. You know, tries to do a little bit too much sometimes. You know, I think. You know, if he starts looking for his shot more, I mean, I think of one play yesterday where, you know, he had an easy, you know, drive in the second half. He had an easy drive to the hole after a steal, you know, but he hooked a pass over to Likes, who, you know, who misses a three. And you want him to take over. You know, you're saying about Bruce Brown last year, you know, start taking over more. Walker has the talent to do it. And, you know, we don't know how long he's going to be here. You know, we don't know, you know, what he's going to do after the year. Certainly a lot of people expect him to go pro. And, you know, you would think if that is what he has in the back of his mind, then no better time to show what you got than now.
Well, perhaps the University of Miami will make a run in the tournament. Who knows? They've, under Coach Yell, they've reached the Sweet 16 twice. Last year went out early, but a guy like Walker or Likes, or if they get Bruce Brown back, he'll be examined the Monday after the ACC. They might make a little run.
Yeah, it'll be huge. And I don't know what more you want from a basketball program. You know, they've six times in the NCAA tournament. I think it was six before, you know, Larrañaga and his staff got here. So impressive, you know, what they've been able to do. And, you know, I think, you know, you kind of wonder every game, you know, are the fans going to show up? And, you know, we saw a pretty good crowd today, you know, on a beautiful – or yesterday, excuse me, on a beautiful Saturday in Coral Gables. So, you know, I think they're making inroads and they're winning, which is what you you need to see, you know, for the fans down here to get behind you. And it's just another 20-win season, and been an impressive run.
Matt Porter is our guest on Hurricanes Weekly. Let's switch to football for a moment. Got a new defensive line coach coming in. Coach Kuligowski goes on to Alabama. New defensive line coach comes in. This is the time of the year where whatever happens becomes big news. So Miami has a new defensive line coach.
That's very true, yeah. And as evidenced by the story I wrote on Friday, just, you know, people want to know who this guy is. Jess Simpson, high school coach, longtime high school coach, and I didn't have to make too many calls of the coaches I know in Georgia from, you know, covering you know, prep football for a few years. Didn't have to call too many people before I found somebody who knew him really well. He's got a lot of respect up there. And one thing is, you know, he's had his opportunities, because people are going to ask, you know, why is this guy qualified to coach Miami's defensive line? You know, the fans are going to ask, you know, we had Craig Kuligowski here, who's, you know, maybe the best defensive line coach in the country. You know, well, who is this guy? He's a pretty good defensive line coach from everybody I've talked to who knows him. That was his specialty. It's what got him to the NFL for a brief stint, as you know, he followed Dan Quinn, you know, to the Atlanta Falcons. They had a prior relationship when Dan Quinn was at Florida trying to recruit some of Jess Simpson's guys at Buford High. This guy who appeared as a defensive coordinator or a head coach in high school, appeared in 15 state finals and won 10 in Georgia. As a head coach, won 7 in 10 appearances. So, yeah, it's high school, but this is a guy who knows defensive line very well. And I think, you know, recruiting, people are always asking about recruiting. You know, can he recruit? Can he recruit? Well, that's about relationships, and that's about who you are as a person. A lot of people speak very highly of him up there. And, you know, clearly he's been able to develop a program up there, one of the best programs in the state of Georgia, and has plenty of connections up there. That shouldn't be a problem walking into any school in Georgia and knowing somebody and finding defensive line talent up there. And obviously, there's plenty of it down here in South Florida. So he's a guy who is a Mark Richt type guy, family man. Definitely, that's, you know, going to be his approach to things, building relationships. And I think he'll do okay. I would hope that Hurricanes fans would give him a chance.
Yeah, I would agree with you, and I have two takes on it because I have no idea of his coaching. One would be the Atlanta Falcons defense. Their defensive line philosophy would be similar to Miami, which is go get the quarterback. And number two, you become a really good defensive line coach with great defensive linemen. And as much as we love the state of Florida for defensive linemen and recruiting, the facts show defensive linemen are plentiful in the state of Georgia. And his job is going to be to recruit the state of Georgia because they are producing about as many players as Florida and Texas.
That's right. A lot of big boys up there that can move pretty fast. And what I've been told about this South Florida 2019-2020 class is that it's very good in the front seven. Manny Diaz was speaking about that on signing day, that they love some of the targets that they're after down here. But you're absolutely right. I mean, that's, you know, a lot of big boys in the South, up above that Florida Georgia line. And like I said, Jess Simpson can walk into any school and know somebody is how his mentor up there at Buford High put it. So I think he's going to find himself off and running in the recruiting aspect, especially if they send him up to the Peach State.
I would just remind people that Chris Herndon was from Georgia. DJ Dallas is from Georgia. Jaron Williams is from Georgia, the quarterback coming in. Yeah, Mark. Yeah. So there are some exciting players have been either on the roster or have been on this roster.
Yeah, and the other point I'd make too is that you know, this is a natural fit. I mean, Mark Richt, you know, Hurricanes fans may not know who Jess Simpson is, but Mark Richt certainly does. And Buford High, where he's been for 22 years, is about 50 miles away from Athens. It's all in that Atlanta area where there's so much talent, so much football talent, and so much passion for the game. That's where he's been. That's where he's won. And that's probably where he's, you know, bound in the next few months, I would imagine, or when the recruiting calendar allows.
We're in Matt Drills now. Any good stories coming out of Matt Drills?
Just that it's the same every year, right? It's just you see the social media, and you see the stuff that the kids put out there. It's a lot of players taking naps in the locker room afterwards. I like what Miami's doing right now. I like how they've recruited in the last few years, and I'm excited. I'm excited to cover a program that's clearly on the come up, and I think that's Miami right now. I think, you know, you wondered, you know, how quick they'd get it rolling, and you know, they got a long way to go to, you know, to get up to Clemson's level. I think that's clear. You know, they have a monster ahead of them in the ACC in Clemson, but you got to like where Miami's at right now.
I'll be interested to see the offense with more playmakers. I think a lot of people are expecting Nicosi Perry to win the job, and to that I would pull Lee Corso and say, not so fast, my friend. The guy in front of him accounted for 32 touchdowns a year ago, and while we were all frustrated at the end of the year, the hallway pass is there were a lot of injuries to key players, and perhaps playmakers around a quarterback like that might help. Plus, he's still pretty big and strong.
Yeah, and they're hoping, obviously, you know, for better play on the offensive line. I think that's clear. But, you know, getting getting a big boost in the depth at tight end is going to be huge. Getting guys like Brevin Jordan and Will Mallory in the program, huge. You know, you're losing Chris Herndon. Not going to be hurting for receivers, that's for sure. They're going to have plenty of those. Running backs with Lorenzo Lingard. They have a fullback now, which they didn't have last year. You know, the depth on offense is huge, I think. I do think that Malik Rozier was, you know, every quarterback takes, you know, gets too much of the credit, takes too much of the blame. And certainly, you know, fans are pretty hard on him. You know, not a perfect passer, but a very tough runner, tough kid. Did a lot for them offensively. I'm curious to see how they are in the front seven, you know, especially in the defensive line. You know, just because you have guys like Joe Jackson coming back, so many different storylines there. You know, Demetrius Jackson coming off of the knee injury, Gerald Willis returning after a year off. Can John Ford and Jonathan Garvin make the next step there? You know, how good is this kid Nestor Silvera at defensive tackle? He's probably going to have to play quite a bit. And they might get some grad transfers too that should add some intrigue. So it's going to be an exciting offseason for sure. I can't wait till they get back out there for spring ball.
Willis is the wild card. You're going to be counting on a guy to play a key position who has not been able to put together a full year in 5 years.
But so talented. Right. I mean, clearly. You know, the stories we heard of coming out of scout team practices last year, you know, that he was tearing it up and, you know, not a surprise. I mean, you have a five-star going against, you know, scout team offensive lineman, but, you know, he was a five-star recruit, and he's going to be playing a lot. That's going to be one area that we're all going to be watching in spring ball, and what kind of depth do they have at linebacker behind the three starters? You know, who can really emerge there? You know, is a guy like DeAndre Wilder, you know, the answer? You know, if Zach McLeod comes out of the game, are they going to use one of their 100,000 defensive backs that they have now? Who's really good there? You know, behind Jaquan Johnson, and we're assuming Sheldrick Redwine. Can one of the freshmen, you know, push for heavy time there at safety or a cornerback? I'm excited.
I think the fans are going to like this recruiting class that came in particular the 100,000 defensive backs you mentioned. I think some of them are going to end up at safety because they're going to grow out of the position. But they got some big dudes with an attitude.
Yeah, a lot of four stars. And, you know, guys like when you say that, I'm thinking about Gilbert Frierson, you know, who looks like a safety right now. You know, but he's not alone. Gervin Hall is an impressive-looking kid. And you know, it's funny, you know, you have guys like Al Blades that, you know, don't even get talked about. You know, people who, you know, could have some pretty good careers here. You know, losing Malik Young is obviously a blow. I thought he was going to be a big factor here entering his junior season. So we'll see who emerges. You know, can a guy like Javonte Dean step up in his senior year? You know, all remains to be seen.
I do think, and I could be wrong on this, but I just think that, and it's been very hard for Miami to do this, that's get older, because you're always replenishing your roster. We saw what the benefit was with Wisconsin. They were older, they were mature, they didn't really break when Miami challenged them, and it's been very hard for Miami to get to that senior class.
Yeah, and you're seeing that across the game, and you know, somebody tweeted at me after the Jess Simpson hire was announced, you know, saying that, his first job is to keep guys around. And I was thinking that I would think his job would be to develop guys that are too good to keep around. And it's the catch-22 there. You know, you want to be old, you want to be veteran. It's going to help you, obviously, but talent is talent, and they're going to have options these days. And, you know, like losing Norton McIntosh is really, you know, could be pretty hard for Miami, but, you know, if the guys that they have coming in are good enough, then, you know, maybe they'll continue that cycle. I think that Miami is, I feel like they're doing it right. And, you know, obviously, you know, they're not relying too much on transfers. They're not relying too much on junior college guys, because, you know, that can get a program in trouble, as we saw with the last administration. And it's the type of thing that, you know, getting scholarships back is huge, you know, because they're going to be, you know, they're full now, and they're going to continue to get closer to that 85. They can be, you know, they can have 85 now. You know, I know they're not quite there yet, but, you know, they have the potential to be a full football team. So we'll see where that can get them.
All right. Very good. You're multi-talented. Where do people hear you and see you, because you have all of that. Even if you can go to your blog, you can still hear and see.
Yeah, you can hear me obviously on radio spots like this, and we put up videos pretty regularly at the Facebook page, Post on Miami Hurricanes, if you want to search that. The Canes Watch blog at palmbeachpost.com is where I write, and I usually put links to basically everything that I do on my Twitter feed, which is at Matty Ports, MattyPorts. Appreciate the plug, Joe. Thanks, man.
No problem. We're here to please. Thanks for joining us on the show.
All right, Joe. Thank you.
All right, that's Matty Porter. Thanks for joining us here on Hurricanes Weekly. Canes baseball team plays today at 11:30. We'll join you tomorrow on the Hurricane Hotline, and then this week from Brooklyn for the ACC tournament. Thanks for joining us, and have a very pleasant good morning.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.